Northern Michigan University's Beaumier UP Heritage Center is opening a new exhibition starting this weekend, and the curator from the Beaumier Heritage Center, Dan Truckee, is in the studio with us today to talk a little bit about Music in the Pines, the history of the Hiawatha Traditional Music Festival. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks a lot, Hans. Great to be here.
Hiawatha Music Festival seems to be ingrained in our community here over the last few decades.
Yeah.
But this really covers the whole festival from almost before it began. Tell us a little bit about the festival and the exhibition.
It really does. What this exhibit does is it looks at how the whole idea came about to start this festival. You know, festivals are started all the time all over the state of Michigan and the United States, but most of them don't last 36 years and become what Hiawatha is. And it came about by just the passion of these people, this group of people, many who were living in this commune in Deerton back in the late 70s, who were traditional music fans and dance fans, and went to the Wheatland Festival downstate, which had just started in the early 70s, and thought, well, we could do that in Marquette. Actually, originally, they didn't intend it to be in Marquette. The first one was in Munising, actually, at the Bayshore Park. And it snowed. It was in June. and then they moved. They had it later in the summer. The first official Hiawatha Festival was at the Champion Horse Pulling Grounds out in Champion. They did that for 6 years, I believe, until 84 when they moved to the tourist park in Marquette. So, I mean, that's really how it began. And the exhibit looks at those beginnings. It looks at the, you know, why it ended up moving to the tourist park and how it's expanded since then. And looking at, you know, the performers and OP, you know, that's always the kind of the focus that people have in the festival. But reality is Hiawatha is really about more than just the performers who play at it. It's really about the experience of being there and being part of this overnight community of lovers of traditional music and just people who love music and dance and want to have a good time.
How's the festival changed over the years? How's it grown?
Well, I think that one way it's grown is just the size of the festival. I mean, now they're getting upwards of 3,000 people a year. But I think that came about because of the move to the tourist park. They were closer to a larger community in Marquette. But also the campground really helped. When it was in Champion, it was basically a large, you know, horse pulling grounds, you know, like a fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And there was camping, but it wasn't really a camping type of place. And the tourist park really allowed them to have a camp experience where people, and they had all the facilities for camping,
right,
and bathrooms and everything, and space. It was easier to secure. And so it just, for that reason, it was able to expand and grow. And I think part of it had to do, too, with the larger the festival got, the more name artists that they could bring to perform, which then brings more people. But at the same time, Hiawatha at a certain point decided we're not going to become Wheatland. We're not going to become, you know, the Newport Folk Festival. We're going to stay small. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of hit a kind of a terminal point where they said we could either get bigger, move to another location and get bigger, or we could stay where we are. And that decision has been a good one because they have a pretty steady attendance. And also it's a very generational festival. And I think that's the thing about it is now you're seeing 3-4 generations coming to the festival in the same family, where originally it was, you know, a bunch of young people in their 20s and, you know, and maybe 30s who were going. Mm-hmm. Now it's people from age 80 down to infants who are coming to the festival.
And I know from my own experience, it's kind of like there's some folks who I know because of Hiawatha, and Hiawatha is where I see them each time I'm able to go. I touch base with these folks again at least once a year, and it's good to catch up that way too.
A lot of people talk about, we did interviews at the festival this year for the exhibit, and many people commented it's a reunion. They see Hiawatha as a reunion.
Yeah.
And the music and the dance are probably the reason that they started coming in the first place. But what happened was they developed these really strong relationships with people and strangers that they met there and people they know who they brought with them. And it became a reunion for people and a tradition to come every single year, with their families, their kids. Now their kids are bringing their kids and their grandkids are bringing their kids. And so it really is a reunion really an overnight community, as I mentioned. You know, it goes from being a campground to an actual self-sufficient community for 3 days. Yeah.
Now, as the curator of the Heritage Center and putting together an exhibit like this, and I'm sure this is true for most of the exhibits, I'm curious about, you know, people aren't necessarily saving things in order to save for an exhibition later on. What are the challenges you face to try to put together, to have enough material to share at an exhibition like this?
Normally, it's a struggle and it takes a lot of work. This was a breeze because Hiawatha has an incredible archive of material. And not only that, but the board members, the people, volunteers have materials they've collected, and people who go every year. Here's a good example. We have a section just on camping, you know, the camp experience. And Sue Devine, the director of the festival, said, "Oh, my brother has the oldest tent used at Hiawatha." Sure enough, he brought over this musty tent he's been using since the early 80s. It's a tent from like the 60s that he's been using. He's used it. His kids, his grandkids now sleep in it at the festival. We put it up today. We couldn't figure out how to put it together at first. And we put it up today and it fit. We were so thankful, but it is so cool. It smells like a tent, you know? I mean, it's going to add like another dimension, a fourth dimension to the exhibit experience because of the smell of the tent alone. But that's the kind of stuff that just came out of the woodwork. We didn't even have to try. People just calling us saying, "Hey, I got this thing, I got this thing." Plus the material culture that the festival has, and the ephemera, the posters, the flyers. We have every brochure on display, or program will be on display. Plus video material. Brian Cabell's film he did about Hiawatha a couple years ago is going to be in the exhibit. We're going to have that playing in the exhibit. I mean, it's just – and we were at – another fortunate thing was that the festival was going on while we were developing it. So we were able to go and talk to people, get ideas, do interviews with people, and really kind of identify these are the components that we really want to use in the exhibit. And that was just so fortunate. You don't usually have that kind of opportunity when you're developing an exhibit about something.
So the opening is this weekend, Saturday at 1 o'clock at the center. What can we look forward to Saturday?
Well, besides seeing this great exhibit that's going to be on display, we're going to have music provided by the Quill Pickers, who Sarah York and Clancy Ward are musicians and dance leaders from Wisconsin. They're coming to lead a contra dance. So we'll have contra dancing at the exhibit opening. We'll have food and some, you know, soft drinks and coffee for people. But mostly, I think, besides that, it's just people getting together, looking at the exhibit and sharing their memories and just kind of reminiscing about their experiences in the past. And also, I think getting a good – one of the great things about doing an exhibit like this is it helps people understand the importance of a festival, any festival. But especially a festival like this that's been around so long and what it takes to put on an event like that on a yearly basis. It takes 400 volunteers a year to put on Hiawatha.
Yeah.
Most people don't aware of that, are not aware of that. That's an incredible amount of people just to put on a festival.
Volunteers. Yeah.
They have one paid staff member. You know, so you that's an incredible thing in itself, and that talks about the importance of community support, and Hiawatha has that in ways that other festivals and events wish they had it, of just the dedication. And these volunteers are not only just people from Marquette, they're people who fly in every year from Oregon to be at the festival. So it's a really cool thing, and I think that we wanted people to understand that you know, we have the volunteer charts that we're going to put up. We were looking at them today. I mean, they stretch like 15 feet. So it's really cool. And getting a sense of how much work it goes into putting it on, but also what they've accomplished over the years. I think it's really going to be cool for people to see. So,
all right. The Music in the Pines, the history of the Hiawatha Traditional Music Festival, opens this Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Bomir UP Heritage Center here at Northern Michigan University. Dan Truckee is the curator of the center, and thank you so much for coming down and telling us all about this new exhibit at the Bomir.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Hans. Thanks.